Begin the current daf Masechtas Yuma daf Chav Beis. Begin the beginning of the second parak, parak Berishayna. Now this parak continues the theme of the previous Mishnayos from the first parak, which were discussing the beginning of the day of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. The first avodah that's done is that of Trumas Adeshen. That is, it's done every single day. However, that avodah is they would take from the leftover, from the ashes of the Marocha, which is where they would burn the limbs and the different fats throughout the night. They would take a shovelful of that ashes and put it on the side of the Mizbeach on the eastern side. Now, that was a difference on every day, and there was a difference on Yom Kippurim, and there was a difference on the Yom Tovim when the time was done. However, regarding the process of who got to do it, on that the Mishnah brings as follows. Birishayna, in the beginning, whoever it was that wanted to go ahead and take this shovelful to separate some of the ashes and to put it on the side of the Mizbeach on the ground, in other words, whoever was from that base Av, that is the Kanama split up every day, there's a different family that goes ahead and does the Avodah. So whoever wanted to do it that morning, he would go ahead and separate the ashes, and there was no lottery, any rules how to do it. Whoever wanted did it. However, when there were many who wanted to go ahead and do the Truma of the Deshen, he said, I want to do it, and he said, I want to do it. So then the rule of thumb was, Ratzin v'oilim mekevish, they would run and go up on the ramp, which was 32 amas long, so that was enough place where to race. And kolakoidim eschaveira ba'arba amas, whoever got there and within the 4 amas of the beginning of the Mizbeach, so he got on the ramp within 4 amas of the Mizbeach, which was attached to the ramp, then zacham, that person, whoever got there first, he merited to do the Truma, and that was their raffle, that was the lottery of who that's how it was decided, who was going to do the Truma Sadashin. Now, Be'im Hoyushneim Shavim, if they were both equal, it was a tie, their race, they both got within 4 amas of the Mizbeach on the top of the ramp at the same time. Then, neither one of them necessarily goes ahead and does the Truma of the Deshen. Rather, now all the Kanim joined together in this one big lottery. Now, what was the lottery? Hamamunah, the one that was in charge of all the lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash, he would tell all the Kahanim of that Beis Av, he would say, Hitzbiu, go ahead, stick out your fingers. Now what that was is that each one would take a finger of his, as the Gemara explains later on, they would make this one big circle. The one that was in charge of the lotteries, he would take off the hat of one of the Kahanim, and from him would begin the counting of the lottery, and he would tell everyone, put out your finger to be counted. Now, the one who was in charge of this, he would make up a large number which to end with, and whoever was the one that the number ended by, he was the one that merited. So he would say, let's say either like 100 or 60, way more larger than the amount of Kohanim that there were, and he would begin counting from the one that he took off the hat from, and he would continue going around and again until the number ended, and whoever the number ended by, that was the one who merited for that thing that they were making the lottery for, and that was with all the payasas, all the lotteries that they did in the Beis HaMikdash. For the service of different avodas, it worked that way that they would take off someone's hat, he would give a big number and start counting, and whoever it ended by would win. Now, umahin mitzin, what fingers would be stuck out by the kahanim that were being counted for the lottery? Achas hashtam, either one or two fingers. The Gemara will ask why that is, why some would do one or two. However, the imitzin agoyle b'mikdash. However, the rule of thumb actually was that no thumb should be put out during that lottery of sticking out the fingers, as the Gemara explains, because of the Ramon, the deceivers, that is, when they would be looking, they would see, they would have to calculate how many Kohanim there are, and he's making a cheshbon, a calculation in his head, says if it continues going, he realizes it's going to end the Kohen right next to him. So on one of the rounds before, he sticks out two fingers. So he sticks out his finger, and additionally to his finger, he sticks out his thumb with it. And that looks like, since you can separate the finger from the thumb, which has the greatest distance from the finger as much as possible, so it looks like it's two different people. Now, the one who's counting won't discern that it's really the same person that's sticking out two different fingers. And therefore, it's going to look like the finger of two different people, and it's going to count it as two. Hence, it's going to end one earlier, and it'll end up by him, not by someone else. And therefore, the rule was that there was no sticking out of thumbs to be counted in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Mishnah tells us that Ma'isesh Hoyush Neim Shavim, that once happened, that both of them were equal. They both were wanted to go out and do the Trumas Hadeshen, two Kahanim, and they were both racing up side by side. The Rus and Voyel Mekevich, they were running up onto the ramp. The Dachaf Echad Mehenes Chaver got a heated race, and one of the Kahanim pushed his friend. The Nafal, the Nishbaragla, he fell and he broke his leg. So once Bezdin saw that this is going to be a dangerous venture, that whenever the if it's going to be more than one, they're going to have to race up to the top. Hiskinu shaloyu terminus mizbeach elapai. So they arranged that from now on, that the truma sadeshin of the mizbeach will only be with a lottery, the one that we just explained before, that whoever wants to be part of it, they take off the hat and they start counting with the numbers, and whoever ends up with, he merits to do the truma sadeshin. As the Mishnah tells us, that arba piyasas hoyusham, there were four different lotteries. That is, four different times in the day, they all gathered to go ahead and do a lottery in the Beis Hamikdash to see who's going to merit to do which avodas. V'zeh ha'payas rishon, and this one, the one of Trumas Hadeshen, was the first of the four lotteries done in the Beis Hamikdash. Now the Gemara asks on this, as we said, how it originally was in the time of the when it was first instituted, the Trumas Hadeshen, that whoever wants, he goes first, and if it's more than one, then they race to the top. And now the Gemara asks, but v'ha, this avoid of Trumas Hadeshen, me'ikara, initially, and that is before this, there was this mishap that someone broke his leg when they were racing up to the top. My time, aloy tekin l'rabban payasa, why is it that they did not initially institute that it should be done through a lottery, like all the other avoids, as mentioned in the Mishnah, that they were all originally instituted to be through a lottery. So why here was a difference that first come, first serve? Why didn't they say that it should be with a lottery and they only change it later when someone got hurt? So that the Gemara says, Mikar Savar, originally Bezdin had thought, Kivin Avoidus Lailahi, since the Trumas Hadeshen is an Avoidah that's fit to be done at nighttime, Loi Chashivalu, it would not be considered significant to the Kahanim, Voliyasu, they're not going to come, and therefore they're not going to come to fight about it. So therefore, whoever wants to do it, go ahead and do it, because no one's vying for it as other Avoidus, which are in the Beis Hamikdash, that everyone wants to do. However, Kivin Achazad Ka'asa, once they saw that they started coming, and not only that, but also the sakana, it's coming to a danger. Tekin l'payasa, that's why ultimately they ended up instituting that it should be through a lottery, but originally they thought that it wouldn't need that. On that, the Gemara asked, so you tell me the reason why they didn't institute a lottery is because it was at nighttime and it's not considered chashiv to them. They thought no one's going to come. But v'harei evarim u'pedarim, but regarding placing the limbs and the different parts of the animal, the fats, of the emurim, the sacrificial parts that are placed on top of the mizbeach to be burnt, the avoidus lailahi, which that is also an avoidah that's fit to be done the entire night, v'tekina l'rabbanan payas, and yet rabbanan did institute that should be merited through a lottery, as it says in the Mishnah later on, the chafeyam adalf, that who gets to bring the limbs up to the ramp, and then moreover, the second half of its journey from the ramp up to the mizbeach, even though that this avoidah of burning them on the mizbeach is an avoidah that's fit to be done on the nighttime. So on that, the Gemara answers, safe avoidah di imamhi. Although it's done at nighttime, but it's a conclusion, it's concluding the avoidah of the carbon which was done during the daytime, which was its slaughtering and the throwing of its blood. And that's why it's considered significant in the eyes of the Kehanim that to come to fight about it, because it is the extension of an avoidah that was by Yom, and therefore it's considered a chashiv, and that's why they made it pious. In contrast, the Trumas Hadeshen, which it's secluded in its own right, and it's only done, it's fit by the nighttime. And that the Gemara asks, but it's not true. Trumas Hadeshen has the same component where it's the beginning of an avodah of the daytime. Damer Rechlin, like Rechlin said, Kidesh Yodav L'Trumas Hadeshen. When someone comes to do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, he has to do Kiddush Adam Ragalayim. He has to do sanctification, but it's washing his hands and his feet from the kir. So if he really was Mekadosh Yadayim for the Trumas Hadeshen, with the separating of the ash, then Lamacha, the next day, which is once it turns into day, in Sarach Lekadosh, he doesn't have to go ahead and sanctify his hands and his feet again if he didn't leave the premises of the Beis HaMikdash. And the term, what he says is, Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilas Avodah. Because he already sanctified his hands and feet from the beginning of the Avodah. So you see from the phrase that Rabbi Yechon used, that Trumas Hadeshen is the beginning of the Avodah. It's the starting of everything. So it is an extension of the day, but before. Just like we're saying, Evarim B'Darim is an extension post. So why is it any different that by Trumas Hadeshen we didn't say that required also a pious mitchila that they're going to look at it as chashav? Now the Gemara says, Amos say, don't read it mitchilas avoida, but rather, shekvar kiddush mitchila la avoida. That is, he had already sanctified his hands and his feet for the purposes of the avoida, and that is, Trumas Hadeshen is not the beginning of the avoida. But he have to do kiddush adam reglaim for it, and he already did it having in mind for the avoida. Therefore, it will help. He won't have to redo it even though it becomes daytime. But not that it's mitchilas avoida, but mitchila la avoida. And therefore, since it's not the beginning of the Avodah, they figured no one would consider it chashuv because it's something that it's in its own context, which is fit to be done at nighttime. And that's why they made it that whoever comes gets it, but when there was danger, then they change it to a pious. Those say a different version to answer our original question, why was it that they didn't institute a pious, a lottery, in the beginning, but rather first come, first serve? Because Mikarsav, originally they thought, Kibin de Ika Oinashina, a different reason. Since there is the difficulty, the challenge of sleep, Loyosu, no one's going to come. Who's going to get up so early in the morning and you have this challenge of sleep? No one's going to come. But Kibin de Chazda, also, once they saw people started coming, Vukasa Namadezako, not only that, the Kahanim started to come to a situation of danger, so then to kindle a Rabbanan Paisa, so then they ended up making it based on the lottery. But originally they thought it's going to be too much for the Einus, for the coercion of sleep, and that's why they said first come, first serve. That the Gemara asked, similarly like the first version, but Vahari Evar Mubidam, regarding the limbs and the fats, which is brought at nighttime, the Ika Einashina, there also you have the compulsion, the challenge of sleep. And yet, with the Kindle Rabban Payas, and yet still, even though this is a Navoida that can be done late at night, still Rabban instituted to be done through a lottery. That the Gemara says, the Shani Mignami Makim. It's very different going to sleep than waking up. In other words, it's preferable for a person to fight sleep, and not to go to sleep at night and to stay up late, than to get up earlier from his bed in the morning, which is what's necessary for Trumas Adeshin. So though, yes, both of them are challenges with sleep, but once you're already sleeping to get up, it's much harder than holding back sleep and not going to sleep. And therefore, for the Ivan Pradarm, although you had to maybe stay up late, but people would still want it, in contrast to the Trumas Adeshin, since it's something you got to get up early for, they thought no one's going to come. Now, the Gemara asks, Vitakanta lahach gisahavi, is it really true, as we quoted before, that because of the incident that happened, because somebody hurt his leg, that's why ultimately he ended up making it based on the raffle, even though originally it was first come, first serve. But takanta lahai gisahavi, it's not true. The institution of the raffle was based on a different premise, not because something bad happened, that originally it was whoever wanted first come, first serve, and then someone hurt himself, but rather because of the organization of the maracha and to be able to put on the two different pieces of wood on top of there. And that's because the one who did the Trumas Adeshin didn't only do that job. He had two other jobs too. He would organize the maracha. Now, since all these were done with one kayin, so there are many avoidis that are chashav over here being done for the one that gets the Trumas Adeshin. And therefore, initially, it was based on the lottery. As the Gemara brings, the Talmud learned the Braisa, and this is the question. How can you say, as our Mishnah says, that originally it was first come, first serve, and only later they institute that it should be through a lottery? But the Braisa seems to contradict that. Because the Braisa says, the Misha Zacha B'Trumas Adeshin, whoever merited to do the Trumas Adeshin, so the Girsa changes it to Zacha, so he also merited to do B'Sidur Maracha, to organize the pyre which had the fire which all the Evar and Bedarm were burnt on, and he was also merited to go ahead and take the two logs of the long logs of wood which had the which was on the width of the maracha, and they put them atop of the firewood of the maracha, and this learned out from Sukkim. And therefore, this was done, and that's why we had to do it through a lottery, because everyone wants it. Who I don't only do Trumas Adeshna, I also get to do the maracha, and I get to do the Shnei Gezer Yetzim. So that's why they made a lottery, but that was initially like that. And therefore, that contradicts our Mishnah, which says that no, initially, first come, first serve. And they only made a lottery later because someone got hurt. So that the Gemara answers, Amar Ravashi, Shtei Takanas Havim. They're both correct. There were two phases to the Takanas of Bezdin. And that is, Mi'ikara Sava Loyasu, like our Mishnah said, originally thought no one's going to come. And therefore, whoever, first come, first serve. Kivin the Chazu, the Ka'asu, but once they saw that they're coming, and Va'asu Namad, they said, they're even coming to danger. Someone's got hurt, he got pushed off. So the Kinla Fayasa, so then they ended up instituting a lottery. However, this is where phase two of the Brisa kicks in. Kivin did the Kinla Fayasa Loyasa. Once they said it's based on lottery, then people stopped coming. Amri, they said that it's not worth it for us to go through the effort for a maybe. And that is, Mi Yema de Mishamelin, who says we're going to win the lottery? If it's, I could race there and I could get, I know I'm competent, but here, who says I'm going to win a lottery? So therefore, they stopped coming. So Hadar Takinu, that's where the second Takana came around. That Misha Zacha, but Trumas Adeshin, they wanted to entice people to come back. They couldn't do it without a lottery because of danger. But no one's coming for the lottery, so they had to make the stakes higher. And they said, whoever merits to do the Trumas Adeshin, Yiske Besidim Aracho B'Shnei Gezeitzim. He'll not only merit that, but he'll also be meriting the Avodah of organizing the Maracha and putting on the two logs of wood, Ki Heichid Neisiv in the Faisu, so that they should come and go and take part of the lottery. Now, our Mishnah said, U'Bizman Shehim Rubin, originally, that again was first come, first serve, whoever wanted to do could do it, when there were a lot, so then they would race to the top, and whoever got within four Amos first, he was the one that did the Trumas Adeshin. Now, to explain this, who got in within four Amos, Amar Papa says, Pshitili, it's obvious to me that Arba Amos to Ara, regarding the four Amos of the ground, and that is the ground of four Amos, which is within the four Amos of the beginning of the ramp going up, Loi. That's obviously not what they were racing, whoever got within four Amos of the beginning of the ramp. And the reason is because our Mishnah tells us, Ratzin Va'ilim Mekevishnan. The Mishnah says that they would race up and get up to on the ramp. So what are they racing on the ramp if it's whoever got within the beginning of the four Amos of the ramp? So that's definitely not where they raced to. Now, Kamaisa, regarding the first four Amos of the ramp, Namiloy, it's obviously that's also not what they were racing for either, to get within the first four Amos of the ramp itself. Because, as we just said, Ratzin Va'ilim Mekevishnan, Mishnah says that they would run and go up the ramp, and whoever got within four Amos first, so obviously it's already past the beginning, they're racing on the top. And because Vahadur Kala Koidim Eschaver, and then only after it says whoever got there before his friend, he's the one that merited. So obviously racing up was before you merited, and that would be not in the beginning, because if it's the beginning of the ramp, you wouldn't be up the ramp already if you already won it, and you're not racing anymore once it's in the beginning. Now, the Beini, the area between the first four Amos of the Kevish towards the end of the 32 Amos of the length of the ramp, meaning somewhere in between, Namilei, it also wouldn't be any area in between to get within four Amos of that area, Dilema Simon Milsa, because then there wouldn't be any clear definitive point where that is. How would you define what that four Amos are? So therefore, Republic of Glud Pshitali, it's obvious to me that the four Amos of the ramp that we were just talking about, that whoever got within four Amos of there, was the Gabi Mizbechna, was in relation to the Mizbech. So there was a ramp that took you up to the top of the Mizbech, which was this square, and the ramp took you up, which are lengths of 32 Amos. Whoever got within four Amos of the Mizbech on the ramp, he's the one that was the winner that got to do the Avodah of the Trumas Hadesh. Now, Boyra Papa, however, Nara Papa says, but I do have a question. So although that's obvious to me that it means in relation to the Mizbech, but there's a Gemara Masechta Zvachim that says in Afsamach Beis and Medbeis that the ramp hovered over the Amma of the Yesoid and the Amma of the Seiviv. And that is the way the structure of the Mizbeach was, is that on the bottom there was an Amma that was extended out. And therefore that it means to say that although, let's say, the bottom of the Mizbeach, the foundation was a certain measurement, which was 32 Ammas squared, then it indented on top on the Amma high, an Amma in, so it was only 31 by 31. Then six Amas, then when they got higher, then they got indented another Amma, which was the Amma Saiviv, which is again like another ramp that goes around. So it comes out that four Amas within the top of the Mizbeach, which four Amas within the bottom of the Mizbeach, is really six Amas of within the top of the Mizbeach. And that's because the first two Amas of the Mizbeach proper, if you look at the whole structure, within that's going to be four Amas from the bottom, is really six Amas from the top, because it indented once and then twice an Amma in. So therefore, the question of Papa was, Arba Amish Amru, the four Amas that we said in our Mishnah, that whoever got within the four Amas of the Mizbeach, did we mean the roof of the Mizbeach, that is the top part of the Mizbeach, that is, Bahadei Amma Yesoid V'Amma Saiviv, in other words, inclusive of the Amma, the foundation Amma, and the Amma that goes around, was that including that also, in other words, that we're looking at in regards to the top of the Mizbeach, you got four Amas, which would not be taken into consideration, the Amma Yesoid and the Amma Saiviv, or the Gemara continues Amma Beis, Oidilma, or maybe what we said that whoever got within the four Amas of the Mizbeach, we meant within the bottom, the floor of the Mizbeach, which is Barme Amma Yesoid and Amma Saiviv. That means with that not including the Amma, the foundational Amma, and the Amma that goes around. And what that means is that you have to be within six Amas of the top of the Mizbeach. So if you're looking at the ramp, you see a distance of six Amas, that although you're six Amas from the top, but you're really only four Amas from the bottom, because there's a two Amma differential between the bottom and the top. So what are the four Amas? Are we talking about four Amas from the bottom? Or is it talking about four Amas from the top? Another thing where it says, take or let it stand, it's not clear, definitive, what those four Amas were, although it's definitely on that area by the Mizbeach, but it's not clear if it was from the bottom of the Mizbeach or the top of the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah that said, Vim hoyushneim tshavin, that if they raced to the top, and you know what? It was a tie. So then Hamamuna Oimalehem Mitzvius, and then the one in charge of all the lottery says, you know what? Everybody gather together. We tried the other way. That didn't work. It was a tie. Everyone come ahead. We're going to go ahead and take a lottery. Now, time to learn the Braisa. What the one in charge would tell all the Kahanim, he would say, Hitziu etzba yisechel leminyan. Stick out your fingers to be counted. Now, the Gemara asks, Finimninu lididhu. Why does he have to have them stick out their fingers? Just count them. Count them by heads. One, two, three. Why does he have to have them stick out their fingers? So now the Gemara says, Misayel Rabbi Yitzchak, that supports what Rabbi Yitzchak had said. Dama Rabbi Yitzchak, that Rabbi Yitzchak said, Asa limnas es Yisrael, it's forbidden to count the Jewish people. Afil dvar mitzvah, even for mitzvah purpose, which is what this is, to do that voidah. Just like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says, Vayifkedein bevazik, that Shaul counted them with vazik, which are broken pieces of shards of pottery, and that each one took a piece of earthenware and threw it in front of him, and then they counted the earthenware shards. So you see that he didn't want to count the people themselves, but rather through something else. Because even for Dvar Mitzvah, like going to a war and fighting the enemy, it doesn't make a difference. You can't count the Jewish people, and that's why they stuck out their fingers, to count the fingers, not the people. Now the Gemara asks, Maskvel Ravashi, Mimai Dehai Vazek Lishna Demivzaku. How do you know from that pasuk that he counted the Vazek? That means to say that he counted earthenware shards, because you're learning the pasuk that Vazek is a term of shattered. So you're talking about broken, shattered pieces of shards. But Vidilma Shma Demasahu, maybe he really counted the people themselves. Now, what does it mean he counted them in Vazek? It's the name of a place. Kedachsev, like it says in the pasuk in Shaiftim, says Vayimtsu, and the Gersa adds the word S. Vayimtsu S Adaini, that they found my master Bezek, and the Gersa adds the word Bevezek, in the place Bezek. So it was the name of a place. So maybe he actually counted them and not earthenware shards. So how do you have a raya that you can't count people? So rather, Elamahachi brings a different source from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, that says Vayishama Shaul Esa'am, that Shaul made an announcement for the people for Yifkedim Betloim, and he counted them with lambs. And that is, he commanded each one to take one of the sheep from the king, and they came to the open square, and they counted the sheep. And that is, again, not to count them by heads. That's the source that you see. You can't count the people themselves, but rather items that define that are there to show the amount that there are, but again, not the people themselves. And that's why they used fingers in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, related to this, Isser that we just spoke about, Amar Reb Elazar, says, Kol HaMoyneh Es Yisrael, whoever counts the Jewish people, Oyv B'Lav, he transgresses a negative prohibition in the Torah. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Hoshea, V'Hoyim Mispar B'nei Yisrael K'chayil Hayom, that the counting of the Jewish people would be like the sand by the sea, Ashtol Yimed, that will not be measured, and he's learning it in the Isser, that will not be measured, that you're not allowed to go ahead and measure them. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, he says, Oyv B'Shnei Lav, actually he transgressed two negative prohibitions. Shnem, like it says in Pasuk, lo yimed v'lo yisofer, that it will not be measured and will not be counted. Two prohibitions of counting the Jewish people. Now, Amar Shmuel ben Nachmeni says, Rabbi Yonis and Rami, he posed a contradiction. He interprets it a little bit different, the Pasuk. He says, Ksiv, on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk, v'yimisbar b'nei yisof k'chayil hayom, that the counting of the Jewish people will be like the sand by the sea. Now, that sounds like that there is an amount. It might be very hard to count all the particles of sand, but there is a definitive, finite amount of sand. Uksibian, on the other hand, it says in the Pasuk, Asher lo yimed v'lo yisofer. It sounds like that they cannot be measured, cannot be counted. There is no, they're infinite. Can't count them. So is there finite or not? So I think Gemara gives two answers. Loi kasha. Kan bizman she yisrael oisin etzoin neshamakam. When did we say that they cannot be counted is when they do the will of Hashem. Then they're beyond. Kan bizman she ain oisin etzoin neshamakam. However, when we said that, although it's a lot, kechayil hayam, but it is finite, that was talking about when they don't do the will of Hashem. Another pshat the Gemara brings, Rebbe Amar Mishum Abba Yosef ben Tostoi, he says, Lo kasha, it's not a difficulty. Because kan b'dei Adam, when did we say that the lo yimad v'lo yisofer, they can't be measured, you can't count it. That was talking about when people try counting. It's impossible. Kan b'dei Shemaim, when did we say that it is ultimately finite, it is kechel hayam, that's when heaven is counting, and heaven knows clearly how many are the Jewish people. Now, relating to this, that we spoke about the counting of Shaul HaMelech, so the Gemara brings Amar Rav Nehiloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. It says, Kivin Shenisman Odom Parnasal Tzibah, once a person becomes appointed, he becomes a leader over the people, Mis Asher, he becomes wealthy. And the proof is from the Pesukim we just brought before. Because Mikarksiv, originally it says, V'yifkidim bevazik. First it counted them with shards of earthenware. And then at the end it says, V'yifkidim betlaim, that he counted them with lambs. So first he only had shards to give them to count themselves with. And later he was wealthy, he had all these lambs, he was able to use them for them to be counted. So you see, he became wealthy. That the Gemara asks, "Bedilma miditu? How do you know it was his lambs? Maybe it was the Jewish people's. He told every Jewish person, bring your own lamb and we'll count you that way. How do you see that he became wealthy? Because he became a king over the, he became appointed over the Jewish people. And that the Gemara answers, Imkein my revusa de milsa. If it was their own, what would be the chiddush in saying that they brought lambs? It would sound like it was only a chiddush. If he was so wealthy, he gave them lambs. That's what it's saying. But if not, what would be the chiddush in saying they came with lambs? And therefore it's obvious it was coming from his own. And therefore you see that once a person is appointed over the tzibur, he becomes wealthy. Now, the Gemara continues with the psukim following the pasuk we brought down before, which he was counting, and this was going into war, and it was going to fight the Muhammad against Amalek, to wipe out Amalek. So it says there in the pasuk after that, it says, Vayarv banachal, and that he waged war in the valley. Now, Amr Amani, he interprets it homiletically that al iske nachal, when it says that he waged war, that he was fighting, he was disputing, it was in regards to the halachas of the valley. Now, what does that mean? B'shor sh'omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Shaul, at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shaul, Lech v'ki says Amalek, I want you to go out and smite and wipe out the Amalekites. Now, Amar, Shaul said, he said the following logic. He says, now, Uman nefesh achas, if regarding one soul, one person that was killed, Amar, the Torah says, Havi egla rufa, you have to bring the decapitated calf. And that's the reference al iske nachal, because there it says it has to be done benachal Asen in the valley of Asen. Now, so he was saying in reference to that, he was using the logic of the nachal to say, look, if one person was killed and we don't know who killed them, we have to a whole process, a whole procedure of the egla rufa. Kala nafashas halalo lachas kamakam, all these people, these innocent people, or maybe not, but look how many people there are, and we're going to kill them. And he says, but moreover, he says, vim adam chate, if a person sins, what are the animals sin? You tell me to wipe out everything of them. Now, I understand the adults, they sin, they're evil. However, what did the small little children do wrong? Why are we killing them? So a heavenly voice emanated from Shemaim and told him, a pasuk in Kehelis, don't be so overly righteous. Don't be so far from, don't come with cheshbain and saying, why are we doing such a thing? This is what Hashem was commanding, for obvious reasons that Hashem knows. Now, the similar thing in reverse says, "B'shasha amalei Shaul ledoig." When Shaul told Doig, "Save Atar, go around ufagaba kahanim and kill the kahanim." That was with the incident with Noivir kahanim, because he thought they were helping out David, who he was chasing after. Yetzah baskov amalei. So now a heavenly voice came out and told him the pasuk afterwards in Kehelis, "Al tirsha harba, don't be so wicked." Here you are killing out a whole city of Kahanim because of that you think that they're helping out David HaMelech. However, the Gemara qualifies and says that, Amar Rav Huna, Kama lo yichol li v'lo yimargish, how much an individual doesn't have to be scared and sick and quake, is a gavra d'mor esai, is a person that his master assists him. And that is, he can rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't have to be afraid of all the evil that can come because of sins that he has done, for someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. How do we see this? This is exactly what we were just talking about before. Because Shaul ba'achas, Shaul HaMelech, he stumbled in one area, just one. And that was enough for the wickedness, for the evil to come, and that it should be decreed upon him that he'll die and that he will lose his kingdom. However, David b'shtayim, David stumbled in two arenas. V'loy olsalei. And it still wasn't enough for any evil to come and to fall upon him. He didn't lose his kingdom. He wasn't decreed upon that he should die. As the Gemara explains, Shaul ba'achas mahi, what was the one arena that Shaul erred and that caused his downfall? That was Maisa d'Agag. That was what we were just speaking about before. The incident with Agag, who was the king of the Amalekis, and he didn't kill him. Ultimately, they did, but that was too late before he already fathered a son. And then that caused the Amalekites to continue. And then we have a Haman that came out of that. That incident caused that Shaul HaMelech should lose the Malucha, because he didn't have the support of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like David HaMelech did. So even though it was one area, it was enough for his downfall. But that the Gemara asked, Ba'veka Maisa D'Nevi'a Kahanim. However, we just mentioned before that it says, Atir Shaharba, don't be so wicked, was by the incident with Nevi'a Kahanim that he killed out all the Kahanim. That wasn't a terrible arena that would cause him to lose his Malucha. So that the Gemara answers that no, because Amaisa da Agag said regarding the incident of Agag, the king of the Amalekis, it says, Nichamti ki himlachti as Shaul HaMelech. It says, I regret, Hashem says, that I appointed Shaul HaMelech as a king to be over the Jewish people. Now, that was before the incident of Noivir HaKahanim. And therefore, you see, that was enough. It was Achas. That was already also, it was enough to remove him from his kingdom and for him to be decreed upon that he should die. Now, David Bishtaim Nahi, what are the two things that David HaMelech did that should have technically caused him to lose his melucha and to die, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Oizoloi, he didn't? Now, the Gemara says it was the story of the Uriah, that by Uriah he improperly caused him to die. Udahasasa, and that was the incident where he was enticed to count the Jewish people at the end of his days, which caused a plague to come upon the Jewish people. Now, although these were two areas where he stumbled in, it's still because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was supporting him, he didn't lose his melucha or his life. Now the Gemara asked, were there only two arenas where he stumbled? But there was the incident with Bathsheba that he had relations with her when she was still technically married with Uriah, and yet although halachically, retroactively, she wasn't married to him, as the Gemara elsewhere explains, but it was still something that improperly done. So that was another area that he stumbled in. And then the Gemara says that no, Hasam Iparo Mine, there they actually exacted punishment from him, and therefore it wasn't an open area that should have caused his downfall, because they already exacted punishment from him, and therefore it was already neutralized in a sense. Except like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis says, Vesakivsa Yishalom Abratoyim. This is part of a parable that Nasna Navi had told David HaMelech regarding someone that steals a sheep, and basically he said that whoever stole the sheep has to pay back four times the amount, which was a metaphor to explain that for him taking Bathsheba, who is the sheep, he's going to have to pay four times for that, which was the punishments that David HaMelech got for the Maisa Bathsheba, which were Yeled, that means the first son of Bathsheba died, Amnon, his son, was murdered, Tamar, his daughter, was raped, Vavshalom, his son, was murdered, and that was the four punishments that were meted out for him because of the Maisa Bathsheba. And therefore, that wasn't a reason of something that should have caused his downfall for the Melucha, because it already exacted punishment from him. But that the Gemara asked, if so, Hasim Nami, there by the incident of being enticed to count the Jewish people, also Ephraimine, there they also exacted punishment from him. The Chesed, like it says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, says, Vayitna Hashem Deber, that Hashem placed a plague, and the Gersa has Yisrael Mehabaker, and the Jewish people from the morning, Vadeis Moed, until the appointed time. So their punishment was also exacted from him. So why was that one of the two things that should have been Olsalai, but it wasn't? Now the Gemara says, No, Hasim Lo Yifro Migufe. There, the punishment was not exacted from his own self. Although there was a plague, and that definitely was bad for his monarchy, for his melucha, and it's something that he didn't like, but it still wasn't exacted from him, and therefore that should have caused his downfall from his melucha. But since Hashem helped him, therefore, unlike Shaul, he didn't lose everything. But that the Gemara asked, then, if that's the case, Hasim Nami. But there also, the Maisa Bathsheba, Lo Yifro Migufe, there also wasn't exacted from his own self. His children had bad things happen, the rape and the murder and the death, but it still wasn't his own self, and therefore why wasn't the Maisa Bathsheba also counted amongst the things that should have been also like? That the Gemara says, no, lo'ay, truth is that Ephraim Megufe, from the Maisa Bathsheba, there was punishment exacted besides the four things that happened with his children. There was punishment in his own self. Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, like Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that Shisha Chadoshim Nitzareya David, for 6 months, David had Tsaras. Upishu remained the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin separated themselves from David. And the divine presence removed itself from David for 6 months. Like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech said, Yeshuvuli, let them return to me, Yireacha, those that fear you, and those that know your testimony, because the Sanhedrin had left him. It says the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashivuli sasan yishecha, let it return to me the joy of your salvation. He wanted to have the divine presence back. And therefore, since there was punishment meted out from him in his own self for the Maisa Bathsheba, that's why that wasn't counted about amongst the things that should have been ulsalai, that should have caused his loss of the melucha. But then the Gemara asked, but Vama Rav said, Kibul David Lashon Hara. David accepted Lashon Hara regarding Mifi Baishas from Tziva, and therefore that should have also been another area where he erred, and that should have caused his downfall. Why do we say only those two things, the Asas of the Minyan and the story with Uriah Hachiti? So on that, the Gemara says, Kishmul. Now, this Mandama holds like Shmuel, the Amalek Kibul David Lashon Hara, that he argues on Rav and holds that David HaMelech did not accept Lashon Hara. That's why it wasn't counted among the things that should have been also like. Then the Gemara says, Ularav Nami, that even according to Rav, the truth is, the Amar Kibul Dabal Lashonara, the Dabal accepted Lashonara, for that it wasn't counted because they had exacted punishment. It was already neutralized that Mida Kenegan Mida, measurement for measurement, which is he wanted to go ahead and cause a loss of the inheritance of Mifi Baishes, and because of that he was punished that he also lost the inheritance of the kingdom. Dam Rav Yehudim Rav, like Yehuda said the name of Rav. Beshosh Amalei David Mifi Baishes, at that moment, when David HaMelech told Mifi Baishes, a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Amarti Atta Betziva Tachleku Asasad, that you think I'm accusing you innocently? What do you mean? I also said, this is what he's telling Mifi Baishes, that I'm not going to take away your whole inheritance. Rather, you and Tziva will split the field. So at that moment, Yatza Baskal Varmalei, a heavenly voice came out and told him, Rechavim V'yiravim Yichalku Esamalchus. Your kingdom will also be split. It will not stay under one melech. It will be split amongst the Rechavim and Yeravim. And therefore, since for that Maisa, punishment was meted out for him, that's why it wasn't considered. Even if you say he accepted Lashon Hara as one of the things that should have been also like, and it was only the Maisa of Hasasa and of Uriah. Now the Gemara continues with Shal, that it says in the Pasuk, Ben Shana Shal B'Malchai, that Shal was 1 year old when he ruled over the kingdom. So Amar Avruna says, Kiven Shana, Shleitam Tamcher, it means like a year old child that never tasted the taste of sin. That's how pure Shal HaMelech was. Now that Mask of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked on that interpretation, how do you know? Ve'emi Kiven Shana, maybe it means that he was a 1 year old child, Shemaluch Lech Petit, that he's all dirty in the mud and with feces. Maybe that's what it means that he was like a one-year-old child. How do you know that he was pure, that he never tasted sin? So the Gemara says that Achviu Leila Rav Nachman, that they showed to Rav Nachman a siyuta bechelme. In his dreams, he had these fearsome malachim, these angels of fear and dread. They started scaring him because of what he had proposed was the interpretation of Shaul as a one-year-old. Sama, he responded, Ne'enesi lechem atzamei Shaul ben Kish. He says, I spoke too much against you, the bones of Shaul ben Kish. In other words, he was asking forgiveness for talking so derogatorily, in other words, as that being the interpretation of him being a one-year-old. However, he still saw these scary angels in his dream. So Amr, he said, Nanesi Lechem, he said a little bit higher of a title, he said, Nanesi Lechem Atzamei Shaul ben Kish Melech Yisrael. He said, I spoke too much against you, the bones of Shaul ben Kish, the king of the Jewish people. Now, Amr Behuda Amr Shmuel, why was it that it didn't extend for lengthy days, Malchus Beis Shaul? It didn't continue too far, the kingdom of the household of Shaul. So that the Gemara says, interestingly, because there was no flaw in the lineage, in the family of Shaul HaMelech. And therefore what? So therefore the kings that would have came out from his children would have been arrogant on the Jewish people. See, look, we have such shiches, we're so great. And therefore it didn't extend so long. However, David HaMelech, who came from Rus, Hamoyevia, from Moyav, he doesn't have that much to be proud of in the sense of lineage, and that's why David HaMelech's melucha did last. As the Gemara says, Damar B'yechon HaMashrim B'mashrim Ben Yoy Tzadok, In Ma'midin Parnas Al Atzib, we do not appoint a leader, an appointee, over the public, Elim Ken Kupish Al Shratzim, only metaphorically, only if there's a box of creepy, crawly vermin, in other words, a reference to some type of flaw in the family, that's hanging behind him. And that is Shem Tezuch Daitelav. If he becomes arrogant, go look behind you. You're not so great as you think you are. You're not going to get so full of yourself. And that's why he has to have something like that over his head. And therefore that family show was too perfect. And therefore it didn't last so long. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, related to this, Rabbi Yehuda Merav says, why was it that Shaul got punished? Now what that means is, we just said before why he got punished, was how did it come to be that he should do something that would cause him to lose the Malucha? What was the underlying root and the cause that he was going to lose the Malchus? So that the Gemara says, because in the beginning of his kingdom, of his ruling, of his sovereignty, Shemachal al-Kavoydi, he already in the beginning was forgiving on his honor. And that is, he revealed about himself that he's not worthy to be a king, to rule over people. Shneimar, like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says, "V'bnei v'liyal amru," that the individuals that didn't have the fear of heaven, they said, "Ma yishienu zeh," in reference to Shaul HaMelech, what is this person going to help us? "V'yivizuhu," and they disgraced him. "V'lehivi le'mincha," they didn't bring an offering to him. "V'yikamachrish," however, Shaul was silent. And moreover, it says in the pasuk, "Vayal Nachash Amoni." And Nachash, that from Amon, he came. Vayichen al Yavish Gilad v'Goyim. They came to wage war against the Jewish people. Now the end of that story was that the Jewish people said, because they won that war, says, "Who said that Shaul HaMelech is going to be king over us? As if he's not worthy. Look how he has provided salvation for us. Give us those people, and we're going to kill them." And what Shaul HaMelech said, he says, "Lo yumas ish hayem azeh. No one's going to die today." He didn't take affront to his honor that was insulted, and again he was again being moichel on this covered. Because of that, he didn't merit to hold on to the malucha, because he didn't have that covered, because he was moichel on the covered because he was such an honor. Now related to this, the Gemara says, "V'am Reb Yechim Shim ben Yitzadik." That's so too, not just a melech, but kal tamat chacham. And the Talmudic scholar, and continue to talk about Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, she'en a noikim, that doesn't take revenge, the noiter, and hold on to the hatred that someone did something to him, kenochash, like a snake in his heart. And the Talmud Chacham, he's not considered a Talmudic scholar, he has to be moich, he has to protest regarding the affront to his honor. Now the Gemara asked a very elementary question. But it says a pasuk in Beyikra, loisi koim veloisi tar, don't take revenge, don't hold a grudge. How are we saying Talmud Chacham has to say, "Hey, you are affront to my honor, I'm going to take revenge, I'm going to hold it against you." Just like we're saying regarding a melech, that he can't be meichel, but it says loisikim loisita. Now the Gemara answers, Hahuba mamen hodichsev. The pasuk of loisikim loisita is only reference to monetary interactions, and that is the time like Linda Brysa. Ezehin nekima ve'ezehin netira. What is considered revenge? What is considered holding a grudge? So nekima, taking revenge, is amalai, if someone tells someone else, he tells him, hashileni magelcha, please lend me your sickle. So amalai says, "La, no, I'm not lending you my sickle." Lamocha amalai hu, the next day he tells him, hashileni kardumcha, lend me your hatchet. So amalai, eini mashulcha, I'm not going to lend you, kader shalei shaltani, just like you didn't lend me. Suhi nekima, that's taking revenge. That's the halacha of revenge. What's the halacha of the prohibition of holding a grudge? So Amalei, someone tells his friend, Hashleni kardumcha, lend me your hatchet. Amalei, no, he says, no. Lamacha Amalei, the next day he tells him, the other one tells the first one, Hashleni chalukcha, lend me your shirt. So Amalei, helich, he says, here, take it. He says, Eini kemoischa shalei shaltani, I'm not like you who didn't lend to me. Zuhi netira, that's holding a grudge. What that means is because it's still, he's still holding on to it in his heart, and he has not stopped thinking about it. That's forbidden, but that's only in divrei mamonos. That's in monetary things, in lending items. That's where there's an issa of leisikim leisiter. What we said, that a talmid chacham should take revenge and should hold a grudge, is not in regards to monetary things if someone affronted his honor. Amad the Gemara asks, "Vitzar de guf alay, you tell me that the pain to a person's self, there's no issa in nekama or in the tira?" But Ratan learned the Braisa, says, Hana lovim veinim ovim, someone that was insulted and doesn't insult back. Sherman Kherpasin veinim eshivin, he hears himself being disgraced and he doesn't respond. Isim ava vesmechim yisrim, they do out of love and they rejoice in the affliction. Alein akasavayim, regarding them, the Pasuk says in Shaftim, for Yahavav and those that love Hashem, Ketseis Hashem ishbegrasa, is like the going out of the sun in its might. And therefore, essentially, the Gemara's question is, why are we saying a Talmud Chacham should take revenge, even though it's not leisikim leisiter, because that's only with monetary things? But however, we see that a person should not go ahead and take revenge. He should not respond. If someone's spewing this verbal venom on him, he should hold on to it. He shouldn't respond. Yet here we see that he should take revenge and should respond. I think Gemara says that you're right. La'olam denakad lebeliba. In truth, even regards to verbal or things regarding the self of the person, he should hold on to it in his heart, not to answer, as it says that you should not be meishiv, you should not respond to the cherpa that someone's giving you. But if someone else comes along and takes revenge for you to say, "Huh, you did this to this Talmud Chacham," you should be quiet and not protest. Let that other person take your revenge. And that's what it means. Yes, although you shouldn't be meishiv, you should be nelevenim ovim, but what it means to say that you should be noikim or noit, you should hold on to it, means to say, if someone else is taking revenge, let him take revenge, because ultimately you are Talmud Chacham, and it's a disgrace to the Kavod HaTorah. But then the Gemara still asks, but if Amar Rava, Rava said, Kalamavra Amidaisiv, if someone goes beyond his midas, his characteristics, and that is he's meichel, he does not consider it an affront, then Mavirin loy al kol peshav, then they're maver, the same term of maver, they take away all his sins. And therefore you see that even in his heart, he shouldn't hold it against someone else. He should be maver al midos, that he should go beyond his midos, his characteristics, and say, it's okay, it's not a big deal. And therefore then they take away all his averis. So why are we saying that he should be noikim, he should hold on to it, say, I can't believe he did this to me, I'm not going to do anything because I'm a talmid chacham, but someone else should go ahead and take revenge. So that the Gemara answers that this that we said, that a person should be maver al midosav, is only demefaisule. If the person tried appeasing him, he says he begged forgiveness, he's asking mechila, umefais, and then you should go ahead and be appeased, and then you should be maver al midosav. However, this that we said, that a talmid chacham who doesn't take revenge and doesn't hold a grudge of someone that insults the kavrat Torah, then he's not a talmid chacham. It's told that he doesn't even ask for forgiveness. Such a person, we're not supposed to be meichel. We should hold it against him because there's a kavrat Torah that we have to uphold, similar to Baishal HaMelech. He's a melech. He has to hold it, his kavrat of the melucha. So to a talmid chacham, if the person insults him, although he shouldn't respond, but if the person doesn't ask for forgiveness, he should hold it against the person. And if someone else takes revenge, he should be quiet and not be meichel.